الله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين ورحمة الله للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعه إلى يوم الدين. ما بعد، إن شاء الله tonight we will continue, and we're getting close now to the end of أسماء الله الحسنى. إن شاء الله maybe you can discuss later on, you know, anytime about the topic next. This topic took us, what, a couple of years? So, inshallah, we'll talk about another name and attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And today's attribute is Ash-Shafi, Ash-Shafi. And Shifa is براءة من المرض, أو taking the or be. I'm sorry. No, come on around. Yes. Yeah, get close to one another, inshallah. Shifa is a cure. Okay, and Ash-Shafi is the one. Al-Fa'il, Ash-Shafi, the one who brings the cure. And cure for what? For sickness. Or cure for feelings. So, cure of for conditions. When we talk about, when we think about cure, we think about disease. Okay? Well, there is a cure for the chest, a feeling you have in the chest, there is a cure for it. There is a cure for the heart, and there is a cure for the body. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He who brings the shifa for everything that needs shifa. And when you hear the word shifa, that means there is something that is not working right. There is something that needs to be corrected. There is something that it is deficient, or it is not 100%, something that's not 100%. Okay? Example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us about us to fight the disbelievers, when the disbelievers attack us, or when we engage with them in fighting and so forth. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us that this fight and this nasr from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a shifa. Shifa liwad, shifa for sudur qawmin mu'mineen. Shifa di sudur qawmin mu'mineen. That is shifa for a chest of people who are believers. Meaning that in a way of war, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُعَذِّبْهُمْ بَأَيْدِيكُمْ, that He will punish them through your hand. وَيَشْفِي صُدُورُ قَوْمٍ مُؤْمِنِينَ وَيَنْصُرُكُمْ, and He will give you victory. And وَيَشْفِي صُدُورِ قَوْمٍ مُؤْمِنِينَ, and He will give shifa to the sudur, the chest of people who are believers. The point being is that this interaction or this clash between the two group, it does something for the chest of a believer. You know, when you are in that condition and you want the word of Allah to be above the word of al-batil, falsehood, and in a condition of it's not just fighting for anything, it is in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that gives you ghira in your chest. There is a feeling in your chest that you want the word of Allah has to be above the word of kufr and so forth. And the way of Allah is better than, it is the only way and so forth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He will use you and He will punish them using you, and He will bring shifa to your chest. Now, shifa to the hearts. There is a concept that we need to, it needs to be clear to us that which is a disease of the body versus a disease of the heart. A disease of the body ends by death. Ends by death. Okay, so, you know, any kind of sickness, it will end by death. Okay? Any condition that we have in this life, it will end by death. Okay? Poverty will end by death. Someone who is very smart or someone who's not very smart. Okay, whatever condition you're in, it will end by death. A disease that you have and you are going through a lot of pain with it. Death will come and will end it all. Okay, so the diseases of the body, it will end by death. But the diseases of the heart, the pain of it and the consequences of it begins after death. Begins after death. And this is something very important to us that we should think about. That when one has a disease in his heart, it is not going to end up when one dies. No. The symptoms of the disease, it will linger in this life, and actually it will linger in the hereafter. But these symptoms that will come in the hereafter is not going to go away. Okay, could be a permanent consequences of diseases of the heart. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us shifa to the diseases of the heart. Okay, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls the Quran shifa. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the Quran to read, reflect on, ponder on, memorize, implement, and all of this is a shifa. Shifa for the hearts, and shifa even for the body as well. We know from the hadith that is authentic, those who were travelers, and they asked a group of people or a tribe to take them in for the night and ask them for some help. They refused. And one of the leaders, he was bitten by, I think, a scorpion or something. And then, so they could not find anything to do for him. So they went to the Muslims. They say, okay, maybe you will have something that would help this man. And they came, and one read Surah Al-Fatiha on him, and he was cured. So they gave him so much, okay, thanking them and so forth. And when they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, told them what happened, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them, how did you know? You know, the Surah Al-Fatiha is a shifa. He used it as a shifa, and it worked. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, our question is, what we have now, is this okay to have? It's okay to have, you know, something. Whatever they gave us is okay to take from and eat and so forth. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, it is okay, and give me a share of it as well. Okay?
Just a little correction. He asked for it. He said, we will cure him if you give us such and such.
MashaAllah.
Like 50 sheep or okay. The amount, and we will cure him.
So they asked ask for it.
Can we ask for the Quran? Can we take...
So the Quran is shifa for the body, and it is definitely shifa for the soul and for the hearts. Okay. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the Quran and described in the Quran shifa, certain shifas. So from يَخْرِجُ مِن بُطُونِهَا نعم نعم شراب مختلف ألوانه فيه شفاء للناس. That شراب is something to drink that comes from it, meaning from the bees. and it is different in colors or different in variety, and in it there is a cure for people. فيه شفاء للناس, cure for people. Now, the shifa that is for the soul or the hearts, it's a shifa that comes from knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes from reading the Quran and reflecting on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So knowing Allah is part of the cure. Okay? And it is a great cure. Knowing the attributes of Allah, and Allah is the one who gives in abundance, and one will not get anything with their efforts, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them. The envy is taken away by the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When one knows in his heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most generous, and the one who gives and take away, who takes life and gives life, he does everything that he wishes with a measure. And what he measures is always with justice and balance. When one is settled with this idea, one would know that this is what others have, it is from Allah, and what he has is from Allah, and both of them with a measure. The disease of the heart is going to go away, or is to go on. If one goes after the names and attributes of Allah and believing in it, recognizing it, practicing the part that he has in it, in him, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a cure for the heart. Okay, the comparison and the feeling of having being cheated in something, and this is, by the way, most of the problems comes from this, the problem of what is your worth? What is your worth? What do you think your worth is? Okay? If you think about it, 90-some percent of problems with people comes from this point. What is your worth to yourself? Okay? So, if you are mistreated and you think you are better than this, this is going to create a huge problem with you. You'll be maybe feeling like self-defeated, or people are dealing with you in a way that you are higher than this. Okay? That causes problems and friction. Husband and wives, when a word here and a word there and a treatment here and there, and things that, you know, I deserve better than this. Okay? And you know, and on and on and on. If you think about it deeply, it is one issue that a lot of problems is coming through this idea. What's my worth? Okay, and if that is corrected, okay, then 90-some percent of the problems will go away. Because of two things. One is what's happening to you through people, it is happening by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't complain about it. Okay? It's not the person who's doing it. It's Allah is allowing that person to do it. One. But is the bigger issue is what is your situation or your status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much you are worth with Allah? High status, low status, and where do you stand with Allah? And when you stand with Allah is high by the practice, by the fara'id, and after the fara'id, the nawafil. Once that relationship is sound, then your self-worth with others wouldn't matter at all. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was coming from al-Isra' wal-Mi'raj, when did that happen? After Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came from al-Ta'if, when he was stoned by children and ignorant people, when he, after he left Al-Ta'if, and he about a couple of miles from Al-Ta'if. That is the area where Rasulullah finally, you know, settled and sat down of this days that he was in after what he was going through. And eventually he went to Mecca and so forth, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him by night. Jibreel alayhi salam came to him by night from Isra and Mi'raj, going to Bayt al-Maqdis and going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and coming back down to Bayt al-Maqdis and then coming to Mecca. When someone asked him in the morning, you know, making a mockery, huh, do you have anything new for us? So Rasulullah said, yes. What? I went to Bayt al-Maqdis last night and I came back. So he found in that, you know, a destruction to Islam by saying, if I bring the people around, would you say the same thing? Yes. So now, do you think, you know, here is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is his worth now after that experience? It is so high. He knew it, but now he experienced it. You know, here is Jibreel alayhi salam, you know, telling him, I cannot go any further. You have to go. If I go, I'll burn. That's it. Okay. And he was like Rasulullah described him as an old rug. Like, you know, when an old rug is like it's all loose. And that's how Jibreel alayhi salam was at this point. This is it. Sidrat al-Muntaha. And then Rasulullah enters and talks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay. Where no being ever been, not human being, no angel ever been. Okay? So here is Rasulullah ﷺ being there, talking to all the messengers of Allah. Okay? Leading them in prayer. Okay? Seeing hellfire and paradise. Seeing the malakut of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not just the mulk. Now he comes back and some people would make fun of him. What is that would do to Rasulullah ﷺ? Just if you know, the feeling of sorrow for them, okay, how ignorant they are, and how compassion Rasulullah ﷺ would have for them. So what they say to Rasulullah ﷺ would not make much difference at all. This who we are when we understand, no, not quite, of course, but this is the path, if you will, that we are on when we get to know about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, when someone comes and insults you and you get excited and so forth because you were put down. Okay, that is a sickness that you have because you think you are, you know, self-worth is bigger than this, right? No, you know, marhaban billadhi akhadha hasanati ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, some scholar says that welcome to the one who takes my good deeds to Allah. If somebody insults you, someone does it, you know, welcome to the one who takes my good deeds to Allah. Okay. So the diseases of the heart are the shifa for it and the cure for it. It is getting to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and getting to know in a concept who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in a practice get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a shifa. A shifa, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would say, you know, call for the shifa. Shifa la yughadiru saqama. That you ask Allah, anta shafi. Okay? That rabban nas, dhahib al-bas, rabban nas, ishfi anta shafi, shifa an la yughadiru saqama. Okay? The Lord of people, the one who takes al-ba's away, meaning the pain and the suffering away and the disease away. Anta shafi, you are the one who gives shifa. Ishfi, shifa an la yughadiru saqama. Ishfi anta shafi, shifa an la yughadiru saqama. That shifa does not, you know, it is always with the saqam, meaning the sickness. It's always with the sickness. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us physically this dua, so one could use it on those who are sick. Rasulullah SAW said also a dua that you could say to yourself and others. أعوذ بالعزيز القدير من شر ما أجد وأحاذر. أعوذ بالعزيز القدير من شر ما أجد وأحاذر. أعوذ, I seek refuge. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is teaching us to use two specific attributes of Allah. بالعزيز القدير. Okay? العزيز القدير. من شر, from the evil of, ما أجد, what I found, what I find, وأحاذر, and what I am being careful of, or what's, you know, what I want to be away from me. Okay, أعوذ بالعزيز القدير من شر ما أجد وأحاذر. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said seven times. And if you believe the cure is there, inshallah the cure is there, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is الشافي المعافي. Okay. Reading the Quran and getting to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeking medicine. Okay? Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم taught us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends the da, but also, or the, when there is a da, there is a shifa. There is always a shifa or a dawa with a da. مَا دَا إِلَّا وَلَهُ دَوَا. There is no da, there is no sickness except that it has a dawa, a cure, meaning a medicine with it. So when the dawa, the right dawa, matches the right da, Allah brings the shifa. Okay? When the right dawa, the right medicine, reaches and reaches the right da, the right disease, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the shifa. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring tawfiq to make this matching, that the dawa will come to a da. A specific dawa will come to a specific da. And from the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that show us around us how the shifa comes with little things. As they say, you know, if the shifa is coming, a little of a medicine will do. And if death is coming, the best of doctors will bring death. Okay? So you know, you have a big sickness and you started taking dawa, and it happened, the first thing you take is the dawa that matches the da. Okay? And then sometimes you go, you know, far away and spend so much and so forth to get the shifa, and the one that you choose, that you think that he has the most experience, he will bring the one who will be coming with death with him. Okay? And I'm going to tell you something I knew a while back, and I said it before. It was a beautiful example, you know, beautiful here, meaning realize what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing. Okay? And you see the work, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala works in this. A man that who was very, very sick, and was in a different country. Okay? And he was going through one doctor after another. He was very wealthy and, you know, going to the best of doctors. And no one knew exactly what was wrong with him. And someone who is about to graduate from medical school, so he's not an expert. Okay, he knew him, so he said, let me look at all the reports. So he looked at the reports, look at this. And then he said, you know, like, uncle, you know, do you have cats? I said, yeah, we have plenty of cats around. I said, get rid of the cats. Because it seems to what you have has to do with flies that go in the waste of the cat. You know, with his expertise, he thinks that this is a result of that. So he was, of course, taken lightly. What are you talking about? Okay, after all these great doctors, so many tell me cats. So Allah A'lam, you know, but he was taken lightly. I should not say refer that the person said this word, because I don't know. And but took him lightly, yes, because the cassette still was there, did not get rid of him. And also, he thought about coming to the United States and going to the best of hospitals here. And he was so sick, so he had to bring some of his family. So he had to stay in places, rent places, and pay cash. Pay cash. Okay, go for all kind of tests. Okay, John Hopkins here. Okay, and pay cash. And then finally, after being here for a long time and testing this and testing that, the final doctors only said, "Do you have cats?" Okay. So this is what it was written for this person to go through. Okay. And the Shifa, was very close, but it did not, you know, see the match. Allah did not allow the match yet. Allah allowed this money to be spent and this effort for some reason or another from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when the time came, the issue was the same. The issue was the same. And we all have, you know, these experiences that we be anxious about little things here and there or great things here and there, and you'll be looking for the shifa, and once Allah allows the match happens, then the match happens. You know, I'm sure each one of us can tell stories and stories about this. But this is a name that what we come up with from this name is the concept that we said from the beginning. That of course Allah is the one who is a shafi. We take the means, and we commanded to take the means and take dawa. But the shifa is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we think in any degree that the dawa is bringing us the shifa, then there is a shirk in our heart. There is a shirk in our heart. Okay? So, just like when we go and take the means to do something, and then it is accomplished, you should never bring this accomplishment and this result to your effort. No, it is the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, the dawa. And second is, we need to think of the conditions that we are in. Sometimes we are suffering because of the condition. Condition has nothing to do with physical condition. Mental, spiritual, tightness in the chest and so forth, that is also a da' and it needs a shifa. And the shifa is still from Allah. And there is no means to be taken except the path of Allah in this. There is no means to be taken for this shifa except the path of Allah. The path of Allah in everything that we do. Okay? Find out what you're doing, or we should find out what we're doing that is different than the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Different than the advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us. Okay? The lack of knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? The lack of trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we don't know Allah. And once we start in the path of Allah, asking Allah so we can get to know Him. Okay? And ask Allah to give us an opportunity and to study and know and ponder so we get to know to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a huge issue. It's a very important issue in our lives, because this is fixing ourselves before we enter onto the hereafter through death. Because the heart that enters Jannah, only a heart that is salim. So the heart that is diseased, okay, will not be qualified to enter Jannah. So this heart has to be cleansed. Knowing Allah will cleanse the heart. Okay? So we better do it now before it is done to us. And sometimes the sickness, the physical sickness, is to take away the other sicknesses. It was the sicknesses that it brought to us with our own mistakes and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the physical sickness takes away the sins, takes the sins away, and puts one in higher up in reward and status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, when we are close to Allah, the disease of the heart, when you detect a symptom of a disease of the heart, one should be very worried, very worried, even if he is in an excellent physical health. Okay? And when someone, his heart is salim or healthy and have a lot of sickness, physical sickness, a believer will not worry much, will not be so upset, because he knows that death will end his physical sickness and the sound heart will take him to a better way, a better life. But if it's the other way around, he should be very worried, because the consequences of a disease of the heart is a great consequences. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to get to know him and help us to get to the shifa in his way and in through the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of the chest, of the heart, and of the body itself. Please, inshallah, take the microphone, inshallah. We missed you, brother Lu'ay.
استغفر الله العظيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خير الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Just a reflection about what you said, Sheikh Mahmoud. الله أعلم. You could put in the Quran or the Shifa in three categories. What I remember in my mind now, Allah said about there is materialistic shifa, which is Allah mentioned about fihi shifa'un linnas, about the honey, and that's using material, using substance, which is honey, right? And there is a shifa by action, which is the one you mentioned, that qatiluhum, you know, that by fighting,
يُعَذِّبُهُمُ
اللَّهُ بِأَيْدِيكُمْ وَيَشْفِي صُدُورَ قَوْمٍ مُؤْمِنِينَ. So that's by action. So you do action and did do shifa for you. You have material and did shifa for the nas. Doesn't matter believers or not. And the third one, that is by words, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say فيه شفاء للصدور لما في الصدور. And what is in the chest? It's the heart. So the words, which is the word of Allah, the Quran, will cure the heart if you have a sickness in it. The substance, and an example in it, which is, you know, honey and other medicine will cure the diseases, and it's for everybody. And the action, some actions, wallahu alam, not only, you know, fighting, it's all kind of worship, will have a cure to
the chest
itself, not only, yeah, it's totally, you know, wallahu alam.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. About the continuation of Halqa, inshallah, new topic, or maybe if you can repeat the Asma'ul Husna one more time.
The last one? I don't know, maybe you have maybe two more or so, inshallah.
Because I don't know others, maybe they have good memory, but I will surely learn some more.
Did you make a comment on that? Maybe we can... because there is something that we did not do often in the attributes of Allah. We talked about the concept, but we did not go through the Quran and say, take a name and see all the verses that mention in and reflect on these verses. Yeah, maybe we can revisit it this way. We'll see, inshallah.
Also about that incident, if that is in authentic hadith, then there is no question about that. But I did not hear that they asked for the reward before they did thing. So if you can recheck and see that
story of Sahaba. Well, they came to the people, they want food from them, they refused to give them.
They refused, but when they cured them, in my knowledge, they did not ask. Oh. They gave it to them. Oh. So if you can check that,
inshallah,
and then let us know what authentically is that.
Because the idea was behind it, can we ask for a payment using the Quran? Can we take something in using the Quran and take some payment from it.
Take some payment because it was it a gift or they asked for it? That is the point.
It was not a gift because they said we will do this for that.
Mm-hmm. If Sheikh can check that, inshallah.
Yeah, yeah. We'll
see what.
If that is the case, then people can do it now also. They say, yeah, we'll pray for you, you pay us.
In that case, was I will bring the exact wording.
Okay.
Although scholars said, do not have the Quran as a job.
Yeah.
You could take gifts, somebody, teaching Quran, and they give him a gift. But not a salary.
Not
he said, I will teach you for like $500 only. If you don't pay $500, I will not teach you. Yeah,
up to Al-Baqarah only or something like that.
Al-Baqarah costs you $500.
I heard that there was a report that a Sahaba just returned and reported to Rasulullah because he brought a gift, something. And then I think that the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that I see fire between your ears. That's what I read. So I don't that they take it as a you cannot what do you call it?
You are talking about somebody went to collect zakah and
no,
he said this is for you and this is for me. That there is an incident like this. Somebody was collecting zakah from a group,
mm-hmm.
and he came back. He said, "This is for you, and this is uhdiya ilay." Mm-hmm. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "If you sit home, you will be given this. So this is not for you. This is just for the Muslims."
Mm-hmm.
So he rejected the idea that this is a gift for you. I don't know if
he's mentioning it. Maybe something else.
Maybe, yeah. Allahu alam. I don't know about that.
One time a few years back I was visiting Chicago and I was in the masjid, then I heard the Sheikh mention a brief story about Shafa. He told a story of Musa alayhi salam that one time he got sick and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to go to so-and-so tree and boil the leaves and drink from there. So he did that and he got the shafa, he was all right, fine. And after some time he had the same sickness again. So he went back to the tree and he drank the same, boiled the leaves and drank the same thing. It did not help him. So he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why I didn't get the shifa this time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, the first time when you got sick, you came to me for help, but this time you went straight to the tree.
Mm-hmm.
So I just remember the story that I mentioned.
Alhamdulillah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yeah, my observation is this, you said shifa sadur is also for shifa body also.
MashaAllah. This is an issue. This is an issue that I talk to doctors about, and especially the alternative doctors. Because now they connect the sickness of the heart to the sickness of the body. Okay, so for example, they say liver is anger. Okay, so person who's angry, usually his liver is not working properly. So I asked, did he have a liver disease, then he became angry? Or his liver was okay, and then he was an angry person that caused a disease in his mm-hmm. liver? So the answer, this particular person says it goes both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we know when somebody's under stress,
uh-huh.
then the body releases hormones, catecholamines. Mm-hmm. That affect all the system of the body, like your heart gets faster, under stress, your blood sugar goes up,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. So it's like a mm-hmm. response. When you're in peace, the brain, heart and brain, I think is connected together, you know. When the heart is slim, the brain is slim also. The brain doesn't go into stress and release those things. Mm-hmm. And if it keeps on happening over the time, and affect all the organs, like your blood pressure goes high, you have problems with the liver or the systems. Mm-hmm. So chronic stress can do that. Mm-hmm. You know, the believer has very low stress, and you can see generally the believers, they have peace of mind and they're less sicker than the... Mm-hmm. They eat less because that's other factor.
Subhanallah, Subhanallah.
Other thing I want to say was belief in unseen. Like we believe we haven't seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or normal human being, but prophets, they go through a lot of trials, but ultimately unseen becomes not unseen for them. Mm-hmm. Like Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Maharaj, mm-hmm. saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talked. So in a sense, his belief is not a belief one thing, he already has seen that mm-hmm. over the prophets. Mm-hmm. So what do you comment on that?
What?
His belief is not on unseen, he has seen them before.
Yes, yes. You see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in when you're talking about the unseen and at one time when Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asked, Ya Rasulullah, I hear from you and I keep and I forget. Could you make dua for me so I will not forget? Okay? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not just say, okay, you know, I'll make dua for you and go ahead and go. No. He said, bring your cloak. Put it. So he put it in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the ground. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put his hand as if he's carrying something. Like when you're making dua. And made dua. And then took his hand above the cloak and opened it. As if something dropped from the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the cloak. Okay, and told Abu Huraira to wear it. And he said, I wore it and I've never forgotten anything that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said after that. Okay. So here's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by these actions, you know, bringing the subhanallah, the link between the unseen and the seen and the words. Okay? It is so, you know, so a clear way. And there are means of shifa now, medicines or remedies, if you will, that actually does not have any chemicals in it. Okay, no chemical. This is physically proven. Okay, physical proven, which is homeopathy. Yes. Yeah.
Meditate.
Yeah, but this is it is a substance that has a physical characteristic, but it has also a characteristic of potency of what it does. Right? It's made out of such and such chemicals, but if you take it, it does that this and that. Okay. So it has energy as well, okay, what it does. So water is a liquid that will mimic anything in it. And that study, you know, it's been like over 100 years when studied that and developed it and so forth, that when put a little, let's say, some salt in a bottle of water and shake it vigorously. So two things happen. That the water gets a lot of the salt is diluted, or the water is takes in the dissolves the chemicals in it, and also the energy of the salt is there. But if you repeat this, you take one drop out of this bottle and put in another one and shake it, the chemical becomes less. And you do this, keep doing that, take a drop and shake it. So at the end, after you do this like 200 times, you'll have no chemicals at all in it. But the more you do this, the more you energize the water with the energy of the salt. You understand? So now you have a bottle of water, right? That if you put it under a microscope and study it, it's only water. But when you drink it, it has the energy of that chemical that was in it that affects your body, and you could feel the effect in the body. Okay, so, you know, subhanAllah, you know, something that is, and there's a study, inshallah, I'll try to get it and look at it, that someone who studied the water and how the water, it changes its crystals, if you will, according to what you say to it. Okay? When you read Quran to it and so forth, and Asma'ullah al-Husna, by the way, is mentioned on it, it changes how it is connected together. It's
that the water is going to be the main fuel in the future.
SubhanAllah.
Now we have this gas, gasoline. Mm-hmm. They have already found out this great water in the hydrogen oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
It can generate energy to run the fuel.
Mm-hmm.
And they have already made the car running in the water.
SubhanAllah.
The energy is in there. Mm-hmm. Molecule and you break it, it releases the energy. Just like atomic bomb,
uh-huh.
You break the molecule and it creates so much energy and it costs so much.
Mm-hmm.
Anything about Sivak? We hear so many things, you know, about Sivak that it's good for not only diseases but also good for spiritual life in this world and the hereafter. Can you make any comments about that, please?
Siwak, it is enough to know that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as he was dying, the last thing he did was Siwak. Yeah, so it definitely has a different dimension than just, you know, cleaning teeth. Yes.
Just a comment. If I did understand your question, the first question, right, Dr. Qbal, that you said that Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it's not a matter of belief for him, it's just a matter of he saw the things by himself, right? I know he believed, but then he became reality. It's not a matter of belief. There is an article or whatever, a study about this, or a saying that rewards and punishments will be according to how much knowledge you have about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how much knowledge reality you are about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his commands. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, since he is the ultimate example for humanity, he had to go through this to become, he is the highest level of any human being to be punished or reward. So if Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did one teeny tiny mistake, his punishment will be way
more
than somebody, you know, like us who just believe in, you know, after 700 years, 1400 years, heard about, and idea that the orders have been given to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A lot of it we cannot do it. Because it's the top, like after dealing with war in the day, dealing with multiple, you know, tasks in the day, Allah ordered him to stand up at night and pray, tahajjud, you know. So this is physically unbearable for us. And the Sahaba used to say that we cannot do.
You have
that.
The microphone?
Right, I have it. Okay. So the idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to reach this point and have a yaqeen, absolute yaqeen, it's very important to him that now he is so much enlightened and so much knowledge he have, he could really, it's become the spring. He could give, he flow to the people and give them so much knowledge, because he will never hesitant in any idea. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you read the Quran carefully, he said, لقد كدت تركن إليهم شيء. I mean, he was about going.
وإذا لا ذاك ضعف الحياة ضعف
right, right. So we will punish you a severe punish, but if he was just teeny tiny bit, you know, thought in his mind.
Teeny tiny, of the teeny tiny.
Yeah, yes. Imagine a thought. So look at the punishment of Allah, and that's why Allah said to the al-Hawariyin when they ask Isa to bring a dinner,
a feast. Yes,
he said to them, "Okay, Allah." When Isa asked him, "Oh Allah, bring us a," he said, "I will do that, but anyone after that disbelieve in me, or I will punish him as a punishment that never happened before to any human." So that's, you know, why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed himself or his power as a yaqeen to the prophets, all of them. So Musa, he talked to him, you know, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibrahim, he saw by hand how he go in the fire, went out without burn, and so on. So that's why the prophets have this luxury. And it's not actually luxury, it's a lot of work. they will be so much in trouble if they did one teeny tiny mistake, you know.
Well, one thing about our parents, they used to be very simple people and used to do just seems to be simple zikr or something, but they were strong in Iman. Now as we look back, and it seems to be like my mother, when she used to take the tablet or medicine, she will say Bismillah Rahman Rahim, and then she will say in our native Punjabi language, "Oh Allah, give this medicine command so that it can cure me. It will cure me only if the cure comes from you."
So this idea, that the scholars who have so much knowledge, they said, where is the belief of the people who are naivete, who does not know, because they are so scared so much. Yeah. He said, we wish that we are from those people who does not have, you know, that's much knowledge, and we just ala al-fitra, yani, because it's so much pure, you know, and that's true.
And also, I mean, you know, this is the strongest belief that we have about Allah, that here in this world, I mean, the majority of the human beings, you know, they are, you know, actually the majority that we attend to our body, our physical body, you know, we do exercises, we eat food, we clothe the best dress, just to make look to, you know, look good, you know, from outside, but we forget the qalb side of it, you know, the soul, the spiritual part of it. The spiritual part also needs to be taken care of, like we do take care of our body, you know. If you do not do that, then the balance will be, you know, overwhelming on the other side, you know. And the taqwa, which is the seat of the qalb, you know, need to be there for us to you know, lead us or guide us to do the right things, you know. In the Quran, for example, the mushrikun are afraid simply because they are committing shirk. And also the bad deeds that we do, inshallah, you know, like Sheikh Mahmoud was saying, that the physical healthy body or the sick body will end by death, but the work of the heart, the intention of the heart and the soul that we do, will probably start when the body is dead, you know. Because what we do intentionally and what we have done physically while we are in this world, we have to pay for it in the hereafter. like I was remembering about this hadith that when the Prophet was asked about who is al-muflis, you know, the one who is bankrupt, mm-hmm. he mentioned about the person who is praying, who is fasting, who is doing all the ibadah, but since his prayer did not prevent him from doing some bad stuff, since he hurt a lot of people, you know, they will come to claim their grievances on him. So he's going to carry their bad deeds, and he will eventually end up in Jahannam, na'udhu billah. So the main thing I think we'll learn from this halaqa is that not only the physical body, also the spiritual part of it, you know, the taqwa, the work of the heart, need to be attended to, you know, seriously and meticulously, so that we can be on the straight path, inshallah.
And just remember, inshallah, the ayah in the Quran, التي تنجي من الغم. Allah said, لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. This is Allah said, وكذلك
فنجيناه
من الغم. And الغم is the deep part of stress, you know. And there is another ayah, Ibn Kathir, he said, لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك لا إله إلا أنت لا إله إلا I forget عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم لا إله إلا الله عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم. This is also save you from depression, absolute depression. If somebody have a depression, you know, sadness, depression, it will بإذن الله to take you out from it, inshallah. There's a lot of recipe in the Quran about
اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الهم والحزن وأعوذ بك من العجز والكسل وأعوذ بك من الجمل والبخل وأعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر الرجال. That's also very important.
إذا مريت
He attributed to himself, right? Yeah. And the same thing.
And that refers to what Brother Ibrahim was saying.
Yes.
Right. Which and is, you know, we bring sickness upon ourselves.
Yes. The same thing Prophet Ayyub said. مَسَّنِيَ الشَّيْطَانُ بِنَصَبٍ. Right. It attributed to shaitan, right? That the shaitan. By the way, Brother Muhammad Jawadi left some small booklets outside, have a ruqya in them. حسن المسلم and a ruqya. Yeah, there is one book for ruqya about, I read it, and it's all about a hadith from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. It's good to read, inshallah. Yeah, it's a small booklet. It has a, you know, and it's ruqya nabawiyya or
ruqya sharaiya.
Sharaiya, nabawiyya, yeah.
حصن no 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 وصاد
لا هو الحصن المسلم
حصن
من
yes
fortress
fortress
حصن المسلم حصن
yes
حصن
حصن
حصن حصن حصن
حصن
حصن حصن حصن حصن حصن حصن حصن
وظنوا أنهم مانعتهم حصونهم من الله. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. جزاكم الله خيراً.